This is ContactTalkRadio.com, consciousness in action, and you are taking action into your consciousness by tuning into Contact Talk Radio.
And on TuneIn.com, Hing.fm, and UpSnap Mobile.
Contact Talk Radio.
Make real changes today. This is Flipping the Switch with Suze Casey.
Hi, and welcome. I'm Suze, and it's my absolute delight and pleasure to be with you for the next hour on Contact Talk Radio. You're listening to Flipping the Switch, and if you're new to the show, we look at belief repatterning. You may not have heard of that before, and that's because I originated the technique about, we're getting close to 25, 30 years ago now. I'm just realizing I was in my early 30s, and I'm now in my late 50s, so time flies when you're having fun. I developed the technique to help me get my mind around things, you know. So when you get stuck on things, you get your mind going in a direction and you can't, well, what I call flip the switch. You know you should be thinking positively. You know that the train of thought that you're on is not helpful. And for me, I was in my early 30s and had a bunch of nasty health challenges going on. And those nasty health challenges I knew would not get better unless I switched my thoughts. My background is in education and I have a master's degree in curriculum design. And so I thought, how would I create a curriculum, if you will, or a path of study for me to think myself well? And so that's where belief repatterning came from. And in the last couple of decades, 2.5 decades, it has evolved into a technique that everyone uses, from kids trying to figure out things at school to teenagers having exam anxiety to individuals that are having challenges with drugs or alcohol to people who are going through transitions in their life. It's not just about people who've got physical challenges, although it works for that. And what's really exciting is that if you don't have any challenges going on, it works even better. Belief repatterning is simply a way that you train your subconscious mind to go to what I call the upside of the line. And that upside of the line supports you in whatever situation you're in. So when I say I've got Olympic athletes that are part of my client base, they know that that mental edge is what is going to make the difference. There's a certain amount of physical attributes that they need to have to do well, but they also need that mental endurance. And that is what we all need in these stressful lifestyles that we lead. Even if the stress is good stress, change just makes things happen for us. And you want to be able to respond from your highest self, from your best self, rather than react from that person that's dressed like you, but is acting in a way that you feel slightly, well, maybe even embarrassed by. So that's what belief repatterning is. Now, last week, we were all set to go on live, and I had a special guest, David Roth, was coming on with me. And then things happened, and I'm happy to report, Cameron's back in the control room again this week. Just a little bit of a scare, but he's fine, and thank you very much for understanding. But they had to, at the last minute, put in a replay. So I hope that you enjoyed that. And for those of you who listen regularly, sorry about that, but life happens sometimes. But we're here today and I'm taking calls about either any topic that you've heard in the past, or if you just have something that you want to know how to get your mind around, I'm happy to support you with that. The number that you can call in is 877-230-3062. That's 877-230-3062. And the person that will be answering the phone is Cameron. And if you tell him that you think that he's doing a great job, that's going to help him get better too, because we all heal better when we have that positive mindset. And so Cameron and I are going to be working together to help him with that as well. So our topic for today is when things just aren't right. And you know that feeling. You know that place of when things are just not right. It might be that you get kind of, well, that's just not right. You know, they shouldn't do it that way. And there's a little bit of righteous indignation in there. Or it might be, that just doesn't feel quite right. or there's just something about that guy or that gal. It's just not quite right. It's just that little spidey sense that you get in your gut. Or it may be like what happened for me yesterday or 2 days ago now. Something happened and I went, that's just not right. That's just not the way it should be. And I know that the person that was in charge of that wouldn't want it to be that way either. So it's that feeling that you get when things are just not going the way that they should be. So things just aren't right. In fact, it could even be, you know what, things just aren't right in my life right now. They're just not going the way that you know that they could be. So if you've got something like that going on and you'd like to chat, give us a shout on 877-230-3062. And I do have a special offer of a complimentary seat in our 3-day course. Yes, you heard correctly. A complimentary seat in a 3-day course. Now, if you're in the Calgary area, that will be easy for you. If you're elsewhere and you can make the travel arrangements, I will ensure that you have a complimentary seat October 23rd, 24th, and 25th. What's happening at that time is I'm offering a course called Flip Your Switch. And it will be a Friday night, all day Saturday, all day Sunday, interactive event where you will be doing a lot of the try these on practice things that I suggest on the show, or that I've suggested in my book, Belief Repatterning, The Amazing Technique for Flipping the Switch to Positive Thoughts. It will be highly interactive, and I guarantee you that by the end, you're going to find that you really have the ability to move your thoughts over. So when things just aren't right, we've got somebody who'd like to chat. Christina, welcome. I understand that this is the first time you've been listening to my show. Are you there? Huh? Oh, I think we may have lost her. Okay, so... Maybe she's got her phone muted or something. So while we're trying to get Christina on the line, I'll just continue a little bit with this thought about when you know that feeling that things aren't right. You've been mulling it over and you've been thinking, what shall I do about that? What shall I do? I don't know what to do. Something's not quite right. You may not be able to put your finger on it, but there is something that you can always do. And that something is to come from the right side of the line with care and compassion for the situation and the individuals involved. And we're going to chat about how you can do that today on the show. And do we have Christina there now? Hmm? We'll get it. Oh, Christina, if you're listening, please call back. We'd love to chat with you. So that feeling of when things are just not quite right. You have a couple of choices when you're thinking, what shall I do? So if you've got a piece of paper and a pencil in front of you, you may want to jot these down because it might be helpful to chart it out. If you don't, that's okay. Just make kind of a chart in your mind. One of the things that you can do when things aren't right is you can just be quiet and stay quiet. That's one option. And one of the things that you can do is to say something. Another thing that you can do is to do something. And so if you're like most people in the world, you're kind of running around in your head going, do I stay quiet and do nothing? Or do I say something? Or do I do something? So that's actually four choices. Be quiet or do nothing, say nothing, or say something. So you run around between those choices. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. What I'm going to suggest is you switch over the question to, how do I want to be? Now, when I mentioned earlier, there's always something that you can do, and that is to come from the right side of the line. You can always get yourself there. So if you think about that, each one of those situations, being quiet or doing nothing or saying something or doing something, can each come from the side of the line that's the side of fear, upset, anger, frustration, doubt, or the side of the line that's up. Love, compassion, harmony, peace, joy. Every one of them. So you can be quiet and come from the downside of the line or the upside of the line. You can do nothing and come from either side of the line. You can say something and come from either side of that line. You can say something in a way that's hurtful and damaging, or you can say something in a way that's loving and positive, or you can do something that's hurtful or positive. You always have that choice of which side of the line you want to be on when something is not quite right. Let's take a peek at that a little bit further and see how that might change. So let's take a, something's not quite right. So the situation that I had was just a way that a group of people were being treated, and I was a member of that group, and I'm kind of seen as a leader in that group. And I knew that the person that was responsible would not have wanted things to be going the way that they were going. So I had a decision to make. Do I stay quiet? Do I do nothing? Do I say something? Or do I do something? And my very first response when I started to go there was, how do I want to be here? And I got to, I want to be caring and loving and open and kind because that's who I am. And then from that place, it became obvious which one of the choices I would make. So let's look at this from another direction. If we look at the being quiet from the downside of the line, this is when you're sitting there going, I'm not saying anything. No, that's just, and in your head, you're like, you may be quiet in the, on the outside, but inside, those monkeys are going ballistic. They shouldn't be doing that. How dare they do that? Now, if you're being quiet from that downside of the line, your energy is still vibing out to the situation and to those people. You may think that it's just your thoughts and it doesn't matter, but it matters. You know that you can pick up somebody's vibe. Everybody does all the time, maybe not consciously, but it's all running in the subconscious and the subconscious mind is responding to it. So if you decided to say nothing and think that nobody knows, well, you're simply fooling yourself. Think of a time when somebody you've cared about is in kind of a not quite right place. They're just not being themselves. And you think, something's not quite right here. And you say to them, what's up? Anything wrong? And they go, nothing. I just don't want to talk about it. Well, you know something's wrong because you could already feel it. This happened to me with a friend last week. I could feel that something was up. I hadn't heard from her for a long time. So I just picked up the phone and said, hey, how you doing? Okay. And she was kind of, you know, not really responsive. And then discovered that something was wrong. Now, when we be quiet from the downside of the line, that's damaging. But we could be quiet from the upside of the line. And what I mean by that is that's when you think, I'm just going to sit back here and see how this plays out and kind of take my own counsel for a moment. That's a phrase that my dad used to use, was just take your own counsel. Just kind of check in with yourself and see where you're at. If you know, inside me was counseling me, how would I counsel myself here? And sometimes you just need a moment or two to figure that out. So you can be quiet from the upside of the line where you're being open and receptive to just sort of seeing how things go. One way to be open and quiet at the same time is to, this is, I often will use this when I'll think, I'm just going to sit on this for a little while and not say anything until I determine what it is that I want to do or say. So I'm allowing myself a bit of space to respond instead of react. Just repeat that piece. I'm giving myself some space so I can respond instead of react. And that means I can then either be quiet from that place of, you know, I think this is going to work itself out, or I can then move from being quiet to maybe doing something or saying something. Each one of these interplays, but the thing that makes the most difference is which side of the line that you're coming from. So either, whether you're coming from the upside of the line or the downside of the line. So we've looked at what happens when you're quiet. And sometimes that upside of the line, you can just sit quietly and know that, believe that things will work themselves out. And you can resign as master of the universe or manager of the universe. I'd like to just make one more point. We do have a caller that I'm going to be going there right away. But just before that, I just want to finish off this point about being quiet and keeping your own counsel, which is just kind of an interesting phrase. It's kind of an old-fashioned phrase. I don't hear many people saying it anymore, but my dad used to use it a lot. And when I think about it, other people of his generation used it a lot. Keep your own counsel. Just kind of checking in with yourself. We've got to a point in our lives, in our society, where communication can be instantaneous. We could send a text and get a text right back. We could pick up the phone and somebody almost always has that phone with them. Now, I remember when I was a kid, you would phone somebody. You couldn't even leave a message. You just tried again later to see if you could get them home. And then we went through a stage where we could leave a message and then people would call us back. And now most people carry their phones with them and we kind of expect them to answer it, which is really quite an interesting way of looking at things. It's almost like we let technology interrupt us all the time. We're going to come back to that concept of it interrupting, technology interrupting us all the time, because I hold this belief that just because the phone rings doesn't mean you need to answer it. Just because somebody sent a text or an email does not mean it needs to be responded to immediately. Sometimes you may need to take your own counsel. So on that point, when things just aren't right, we're going to go to the calls. And Brenda has called in from Radium. Hey, Brenda, how are you doing today?
I'm doing awesome. How are you, Suze?
I'm very well, thank you. I'm very well. So what's on your mind around this topic?
The word discernment is what is coming up for me. And discerning when to keep your own counsel. And also the discernment on your last point about what the appropriate use of technology and when we get our quiet time by cutting ourselves off from it.
Mm-hmm. So just in case your listeners are wondering, Brenda, I think we better fess up. You're one of our practitioners, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
Yes. And so thank you very much for calling in and just giving another a bit of perspective on this. So talk a little bit more about that discernment piece.
So the last week, I'm really an open person. What you get is what you say, and I probably am sometimes to be accused of being way too open. And so when I go to that discernment place, I often find myself, the little voice in my head saying, but you're not being fully truthful, or you're not being fully forthcoming, or you're holding back. And it was really interesting. The lesson I had around that this week is I live in a part of the world where a fireplace really contributes to the heating of our home in the winter. And finding a inexpensive wood source is kind of a community endeavor. And lots of people keep their wood sources secret. And there used to be a really big community source, which has now disappeared. So earlier in the week, I was advised by a really good friend of mine to keep my mouth shut about the disappearance of that and the small supply in that place, and I did. And this morning when I went down, it was like, wow, because in 4 days, the pile had gone down by 75% without me speaking anything to anybody. So it was kind of an important lesson, and yes, it's very appropriate to do that and not phone all your friends and say, if you were planning on getting wood from that pile, you better get down there and get it. So I guess I'm looking for some peace with that little voice inside that says, oh, but, you know, it really would have been the nice community thing to do to phone your friends who you knew used that wood pile and tell them.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So that place of discernment, and I appreciate when you said holding back, because that's the feeling, is that you're withholding, you're not being straight up. Is that what was going on?
That's kind of what it feels like, and with that goes that sense I have of because I believe in abundance and there's enough for all. Almost in this situation when I didn't call the two or three people I knew and told them of the situation, I felt like I was being dishonest.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So let's just shift that to being something that's more supportive for you, shall we?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. So when you look at it, were you holding your own counsel? Were you, hoarding? Were you just being sensible about stuff? What side of the line were you on?
So my brain has me on the right side of the line.
Because
my
makes sense.
Body and my soul have me a little out of alignment, I think.
Okay. So, so is the opposite of that feeling of disalignment, is it to feel honest, to feel like you're being forthcoming, to feel like you're in alignment? How's the feeling that you want to feel?
I think alignment might be the best in this point, because that feeling of out of alignment is the kind of the depth of where this thing sits.
Great. Okay. And so I did mention earlier, Brenda's one of our practitioners, and so listeners might be going, well, if she knows how to do it, how come she's not doing it for herself? And the reason that she's not doing it for herself is because this one's really deep. And, I often will say to the people that I train how to do this, one of the reasons is so I've got somebody to go to when I can't get at it. Because we've all got those spots that are kind of like the middle of our back that you can't scratch, that you need somebody else to help you with. And so, that's what's going on here. This one's pretty deep. So do you have some water handy?
That's just what I was going to grab, because I sipped my last of it before I made the call. And so
you always want to make sure when you're doing repatterning that you've got some water with you. So folks that are listening, even if you're just listening, you're going to be repatterning this, because every one of us has had that, what I call a moral dilemma, that our mind says, it makes sense not to tell everybody else about this, but that big, warm, open heart of yours wants to blab it to everybody. And, oftentimes it's about the, it's not that you're not telling the truth, it's just that you're not telling everything all the time. And that's an interesting place for people who are open and compassionate like you are, Brenda. It's an interesting place to be playing in, and that's kind of what it feels like where we're playing right now. Does that resonate?
Very, very much that resonates.
Okay, so what we're going to do is, I know that you're not sitting at the forgiveness stage with this. I can feel that you're probably more at freedom or affirmation. But because I know also that listeners are sitting at this stage, we're going to start at the forgiveness place. So forgiveness, for those people who are listening, and maybe if you're new, the forgiveness stage is really just about acknowledging it. So let's go here. I forgive myself for believing I need to sit in this place of misalignment.
I forgive myself for believing I have to sit in this place of misalignment.
Then you breathe in through your nose and out through your mouth. I forgive myself for believing I'm dishonest.
I forgive myself for believing I'm dishonest.
Or I was being dishonest.
Or I was being dishonest.
Breathe that in.
Oh, I got a monkey.
And what did your monkey say?
The monkey's just saying, you don't really believe that you were being dishonest.
Ah, what do you believe? Doesn't matter. Let's go.
I wasn't sharing.
Ah.
And sharing is a good thing.
Okay.
That's what the monkey's saying.
There you are. Okay. I give myself permission to know that I was out of alignment because it felt like I wasn't sharing.
I give myself permission
to know I was feeling out of alignment. Because I wasn't sharing.
I believed I wasn't sharing.
Okay, breathe that in. So here you are. So you've gone from calling yourself dishonest to recognizing what was really going on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I forgive myself for believing I was dishonest. I was just not sharing.
I was dishonest. I was just choosing not to share.
And I noticed that you changed it a bit, and that's one of the things that you can do with repatterning, is shift it so that it fits for you. So I'm guessing that that if any one of your friends had phoned you and said, hey, I'm looking for a source of wood, you would have told them where it was.
Absolutely.
So you just didn't pick up the phone and broadcast it.
That's true.
Okay. There's no right or wrong situation here. It's just, how do you feel about it? So if we could turn back the clock to last week, would you pick up the phone and call people, or would you have kept your own counsel?
Where I'm sitting right now, if I was sitting here last week, I would have kept my own counsel.
Right. Okay. So you can be on the upside of the line with it. Because you know,
I feel a lot better about it now than I did not doing it.
Yeah. Okay. Because you stopped beating up yourself and calling yourself dishonest, for one thing. And it's not that you weren't sharing. You would have shared if there had been somebody in need.
Yes.
All right. So basically what you did was you sat and you ate your own lunch instead of saying, does anybody want half my sandwich?
Good analogy.
But if somebody came up to you and said, I forgot my lunch today, what would you have said? Have half my sandwich.
Half my sandwich, yeah.
Okay, so what you probably got something that started when you were really young around sharing, and that you have to share everything with everybody all the time. And you're not the eldest in your family, are you?
I am the eldest in my family.
Alrighty.
I think that's where the share thing came from.
I was thinking about that, and I went, no, I'm not sure. Okay, so what were you told as soon as, like, so you're the only kid that gets everything, and then another baby comes along, and what do you get told all the time? You gotta share.
And not only you've got to share, but, oh, here come the tears. You have to feel good about sharing.
Mm-hmm. Even if it's something that you don't want to share.
Exactly.
And so these are the lessons that we learn, and we learn them simplistically as 2- and 3- or 4-year-olds. But, you know, I mean, for example, I'm not really all that interested in sharing my partner with anybody else. You know, I'm not all that interested in sharing my house with everybody on the planet.
Exactly.
Happy to share it with friends. I'm, you know, not all that interested in sharing everything with everybody, but as a 2-year-old or a 3-year-old or 4, however old, you know, you were when you learned about the sharing concept, it felt like everything to everybody all the time. And so you got a pattern on it. So let's go here. I give myself permission to share when it feels right.
I give myself permission to share when it feels right.
I forgive myself for believing I have to share everything with everybody all the time.
I forgive myself for believing I have to share everything with everybody all the time.
I know how to discern.
I know how to discern?
Mm-hmm. So I'm just going to give you another example. If you had been out and about in the community, and I say out and about in the community because I know that our American listeners like to hear my Canadian accent. We've been out and about in the community, and you had heard about a single mom with 4 kids that was on welfare. My guess is that you would have made the phone call and said, I know where there's some wood.
Yes, or I might even have taken her a load of wood.
I know how to share appropriately.
I know how to share appropriately.
Or let's get another example, because I don't want to be seen as sexist. Let's say that you were talking to somebody and it was a fellow that got laid off from, the local factory or mill. And he was like really upset because he didn't know how he was going to manage to support his family this winter. What would you have done?
Again, I would have told him where there was wood and probably offered to help, or if something like that worked out that I could do that, that I would help them load.
Mm-hmm. I do know how to share.
I do know how to share.
And what I did last week was keep my own counsel.
What I did last week was to keep my own counsel.
I needed the wood.
I needed the wood.
I'm happy to share with somebody else in need.
I'm happy to share with somebody else in need.
Okay, how's that feeling and sitting now?
That's feeling and sitting really good now, actually. It feels like there's a whole lightness to my soul about the whole concept of sharing, and that goes even further to how sharing ties in with my beliefs around abundance.
Mm-hmm. So what occurs to me now, because we just talked about being quiet before the call, we didn't talk about do something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you may want to do something from this new place of realization. You may not want to, but you might go, oh. Because one of the things that I heard you say was that you would maybe even take a stack of wood to somebody that you know is in need.
Yeah.
So do you know anybody in need?
I don't have anything pop off the top of my head, but I will sure stay aware of that for the next few days.
Yeah. And if you hear something, and, you know, you could just be the wood fairy. Just drop off a load. You know, it doesn't have to be.
You know that I like to be a fairy.
I do. Yeah. But it's not about the what should I do or not do, or what didn't I do, or what I could have done or should have, would have, or any of those things. It's about having the right energy around it.
Mm-hmm.
And that whole experience and this conversation has allowed you to take another look at what sharing means.
Yeah, and quite frankly, it's brought that whole concept into a brand new alignment. Mm-hmm. It's like even I guess, but the example I would use with that alignment is that it feels like all of a sudden I'm sitting up straighter around it. There's a truth around it that wasn't there before.
Let's go there. I'm free to be in alignment with myself.
I am free to be in alignment with myself.
Making the decision last week around the woodpile is in alignment.
Making the decision around the woodpile last week was in alignment.
Monkey, okay with that?
Yeah.
I'm in alignment.
I am in alignment.
I'm being honest with myself, and I'm sharing with others in need.
I'm being honest with myself and would share with others in need.
There you go. Breathe it in. Feeling okay?
Yeah.
Nice. Nice.
Monkey saying, what else can we get in alignment?
I give myself permission. So let's go here. I give myself permission to put myself in alignment whenever something that's just not quite right shows up. I choose to do that by deciding how I want to feel. Now I'm going to go here. I give myself permission to listen to that inner critic. It has some good information.
I give myself permission to look into that inner critic. I know the value of its information.
There you go. Breathe it in. Because that was the inner critic that came up and said, but you weren't sharing. Bad kid, weren't sharing.
Yes.
And so you can dismiss it and shove it away. And sit on it. Excuse me, I didn't turn the ringer off on the phone there in the background.
Oh, it would get very, very angry and persistent if I did that. I can't do that anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. I give myself permission to be in alignment with myself, body, mind, and soul. And when something feels not quite right, it's just a reminder to be in alignment.
Something feels not quite in alignment, it's just a reminder that things aren't quite right.
Breathe that one in. that's when I really need to show up as who I am.
That's when I really need to show up as who I am.
Now, I'm going to go a little bit further with this one, with your permission.
Absolutely.
One of the things that I know about you is that you give to everybody else at the expense of you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So another thing that I know about you is that you really need wood, and you were kind of in a position that maybe you might be one of the people that would be in the needier end of the spectrum of the people in the valley. So
yeah.
What about if this is an example of that you are actually learning to give to yourself before giving everything to everybody else?
Oh, that would be a really, really solidification of a belief.
Right. I'm going to let you sit with that for just a minute. We're going to take a quick station break. Are you okay to hang on the line for a few minutes?
I sure am.
We'll come back to that. Thanks, Brenda, for being so open on this one, because there's some really interesting things that are happening energetically as we're talking through this, and I'm really believing that other people are listening here and going, yeah, this is interesting. We're not just taking it to the surface level. We're going to pretty deep. So we're going to just take a quick break here, and we will be back in a minute or so. You're listening to Suze Casey. That's me. And we're flipping the switch on things that are just not quite right. You're listening on Contact Talk Radio, and we'll be back in a minute.
Learned it, now live it. You've read the books and studied the theories, but the practical application is hanging you up. Are you tired of beating yourself up for not living what you know to be true? This is Suze Casey, and I invite you to integrate your learning through easy-to-practice exercise found in my book, Belief Repatterning, the amazing technique for flipping the switch to positive thought. It's available through hayhouse.com or your local bookstore. Hi, this is Suze Casey, and I'm passionate about helping people flip the switch to positive thoughts. And through belief repatterning, I'll support you. I invite you to sign up for my newsletter on suzecasey.com. That's SUZECASEY.com. You can also order an autographed copy of Belief Repatterning, find out about individualized coaching with me, or join one of my online courses. Know you can and will repattern anything you choose. suzecasey.com. My grand used to say, a penny for your thoughts, and you know that a mindful daily practice is effective, but who has the time? What if there was a simple, practical, and profound way to focus your subconscious mind? 365 Repattern is an app that sends you a focus word and a positive thought every day, 365 days. Based on my book, Belief Repatterning, the amazing technique for flipping the switch to positive thoughts, 365 Repattern, you can get it at your app store, Android or iPhone. Your thoughts are worth it, and I'm Suze Casey reminding you.
Make real changes today. This is Flipping the Switch with Suze Casey.
Hi, and welcome back. So we're talking about what happens when things are just not quite right. And we talked about there's four choices. You're sitting there going, I don't know what to do. I don't know whether I should mind my own business and stay out of it, or speak my truth, bring my concerns to light. I don't know if I should, you know, just sit here quietly and be angry about it, or if I should do something. And it's really an unusual place for us to be, that we automatically, the first thing that comes to mind is the exact perfect thing to do. What I'm going to suggest is that what the very first thing that you want to do is, remember, it's not about doing. It's about how you want to show up, and it's the way that you're being that makes all the difference. So we have been speaking with one of the practitioners who's in Radium. Her name's Brenda, and I really appreciate you calling in. And so sometimes doing nothing and being quiet is just fine. And sometimes you want to say something or do something, and that's just fine. Sometimes being quiet and doing nothing is not fine. And sometimes saying something and doing something is not fine. It's not the action, it's the how you are being in that action. And before the break, we got to a place about sharing and then about giving to yourself first and not giving to everybody else first, which I see rampant around me. People are giving and giving and giving to everybody else. And it's like, you got to mind your own fence. You need to make sure that you're taken care of too. And so that's where we were when we took the break. So Brenda, where are you now after a couple of minutes of contemplation?
A couple of minutes is a really long time to be quiet these days. And I laughed because my phone rang while I was in it, and I just said that I was in a meeting and just stayed with the being quiet.
Nice, because life will distract us.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that's what it is. It's like, oh, I'll go do this, and then you kind of push under what's dealing with, and then it's going to fester and show up later. So much better often to be in that quiet space until you get to it. So where are we going from here?
We're working on keeping your – the way I was sort of hearing this was, my belief is that we really need to keep ourselves full and work from overflow when we're helping others. And when we keep ourselves full by doing what we need to do ourselves full, keep ourselves – like keeping our energy tank full, right? That then we can show up and be our best person. So, and I often have, what's coming up is I often have behaviors that are out of alignment with that. Mm-hmm. And besides them being out of alignment, there's two parts to that. One of that is, how I feel when I am in alignment with that, but it appears to somebody else I'm not. Mm-hmm. And then the part of where, so I'm reacting to, you know, I'm handing my feelings over to somebody else then, I guess. And when I am truly choosing to do something that harms me rather than supports me. Mm-hmm. Or drains me rather than supports me.
You're super good at making
that fair?
Sure that, yeah, and you're super good at making sure that other people don't do that. Mm. I remember you saying to me the other day when we were working on a project, we need to make sure that you get that nap that you said you needed. And I was like, oh, no, we got to get this done. And you were like, we got to make, now go have that nap. You were so good at ensuring that I got what I needed to keep my tank full.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that's when people say, I don't know how to do it for myself. It's like, you've been practicing on everybody else. So for people who are listening, the things that you've been doing, overdoing for other people, you know, overextending yourself, and then you run flat, like Brenda says, you got to get that tank full. I often think of it like a pitcher of water. And if you've got a pitcher of water and you're pouring water into everybody else's cup over and over again, ultimately that pitcher is going to run out unless you fill it up. So if you're giving and giving and giving to everybody else, sharing and sharing and sharing with everybody else, you're going to run out of stuff. And then you end up empty. You end up flat. You end up, you know, in all kinds of places. But if you take that pitcher of water or the pitcher and you put it underneath a faucet and you let the faucet run and that pitcher gets so full that it gets that little top of the, you know, it's called a meniscus, I think it's called, but it's that little thing on top of the pitcher of water when it's so full just before it bursts over. That's the place that you want to be vibing from. And then, like you say, work from the overflow, because then there's just lots. And you'll think about, when you think about that pitcher, when it starts to overflow, it overflows faster than you could pour.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, it works better. And the thing is that when we share or when we give from a place of deficit or a lower tank or a quarter tank or whatever, you know, metaphor you want to give there, when you're not full, when you're less than full in giving, oftentimes there's a little piece of resentment around it. So, you know, let's think about the wood pile again, which is being a great little teacher for us here today, that woodpile, if you had phoned 27 people or 30 people or whatever and told them about it, and you got there today to get, when you were able to go get another load for yourself, and there was none there, I'm not sure that you would have been feeling totally good about things.
I was feeling, I thought my first reaction when I got down there was, interesting. Isn't this interesting? This woodpile was endless a year ago. And then this summer they had a problem with it with spontaneous combustion and it had a fire. So the mill has to get rid of it. Mm-hmm. And so it's, I think they even have people down there chipping some of it so the chips can go away and make paper for us. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, it was quite fascinating.
Mm-hmm. So we want to be able to share from that place of abundance and flow rather than sharing from a place of scarcity.
Yeah, and it's been really interesting in the last week. I've been really identifying what are the things to build into my day that it's very easy when you work from a home office to let slide or to have to make an extra effort in order, if those things fuel you, in order to break them into the day. So having something physical I do every day, today it was go to the woodpile, having something social to do every day. And those things in their own way, although they can be tiring and they take time away from things you might think you have to do, in fact energize and make me more efficient when I'm working. And they mean I sleep better.
Yeah, they fill up your tank. You sleep better so that then you have more energy the next day. And yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I do want to take a look at some of these other things about sort of the doing nothing, the saying something, or the doing something from either side of the line. So let's look at if something comes up and you decide to do nothing, it can be either side of the line. You can do nothing with that feeling of resentment, or you can do nothing and send good positive vibes out. So I'm just thinking of an example here where my choice was to be who I am at my best, which is loving, compassionate, and caring, and to do nothing in a situation that was just not right. I'm thinking about a situation with a couple that I know, and I know that they were having challenges, and I made the choice to do nothing. Now, in that choice to do nothing, even though I knew things were just not quite right, I sent them energetic love and a total held the space of believing that they were going to work it out, that they were the kind of people that could sort it out for themselves. They did not need my intervention other than I could send them love. And so it may look on the outside to other people that I was doing nothing, but in fact, I was being my best self and sending good, kind, loving energy. Let's go to the example last week with Cameron was ill. There's nothing I could physically do. I'm not there. But I stopped and I went, okay, I want to say something. You know, I want to respond. So there's the say something. It can be responded from the, man, I'm irritated that the show got canceled. Or I can say something like, which I did, which was like, I am sending all kinds of love and energy. And I sent a note out to everybody that on my newsletter, send love and energy to Cam and his family. And here he is a week later, back on his feet again and on the road to recovery and feeling pretty good. I really believe that when we can say something or do something from that upside of the line, that's great. But if we can't really do anything, we can still send the vibe. And I know you share that. Do you have some thoughts on that, Brenda?
Yeah, very, very much. That's the type of situation where by sending that type of energy and support to somebody, and if there is something you can do because you know other people without violating confidentiality, that you can get community sending that, it does make a difference to the person who is in that not quite so nice place. And it takes you out of the feeling. I don't know, sometimes when I'm in, when I see something like that going on around me, I feel pretty helpless about it. Mm-hmm. You know, there's not a lot that in some situations that you could do, even if you were with somebody in the same city and place. But sending them that love and that compassion and that just seeing them as and remembering them as a whole and healthy human makes a huge difference to how quickly they can respond. I see it over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So was that Cameron I talked to who answered the phone?
Yes.
Glad you're feeling better, Cameron.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that, Brenda. Thank you.
And he listens to everything we say. So he's like my little spy guy. It's great. But, you know, I can think of him as a spy, or I can think of him as the guy who's got my back while I'm on air. And the one that I choose is the guy that has my back, because that's the energy that he's coming from. So I did a series of repatterning statements, Brent, and I'm just going to ask if you would do the repeat part of it. And so the people that are listening, you're following Brenda, and we're just going to do a series of repatterning statements around that awkward feeling of when things are just not right. And what do you do? And so this was out in the newsletter today. If you're not already on our newsletter, you can sign in at beliefrepatterning.com. That's belief, B-E-L-I-E-F, like Frank. R-E, word pattern, patterning.com. And every week I send out a musing, and it's just usually something that's happened to me that I've navigated my way through and I'm thinking about. And oftentimes it helps for me to just write the musing and get really clear about it. So I had that situation where things weren't going right, and I didn't know whether I should mind my own business and stay out of it, or speak my truth and bring the concerns to light. Sometimes keeping your own counsel is the best path, and sometimes speaking up is the better route. And how do you know what to do? So to recap, remember, it's not about doing. It is about how you want to show up in any given situation, and it's the way that you're being that makes all the difference. Let's go into the repatterning statements. I forgive myself for believing that I should mind my own business.
I forgive myself for believing that I should mind my own business.
And breathe that in. I give myself permission to stop focusing on things not being right and discover what works to help things get better.
I give myself permission to stop focusing on what's not right and
discover what works.
And remember what works and discover what works.
Okay, breathe that in. I choose to be my best version of myself, and then I know what to do.
I choose to be my best version of myself, and then I know what to do.
And that gets you to the line. And I'm just going to skip right to a surrender statement because we're getting short on time today, but I'm helping things be right when I show up as my best self.
I'm helping things. Pardon me, I'm doing this through a yawn. I'm helping things along when I show up as my best self.
That's right. So that yawning just means that there's some old stuff that's shifting around, and I'm really grateful that you called in today. Thank you so much for all you do in the world with belief repatterning and for showing up as yourself. And same to everybody who's listening. When we show up as our best self, the world's just a better place. And so if you're interested in finding out more, you can do so at beliefrepatterning.com. I'm Suze Casey, and we will be back next week to talk more about how you can repattern your thoughts and create what you truly want and deserve in your life. You're listening to Contact Talk Radio. Have a great week. Know you can, and in fact, already are, repatterning absolutely anything you choose. That mind of yours is powerful. Train it. It'll work for you, not against you. Take good care. Have an awesome week. Bye for now.
Money. 20- 2020 Mazda CX-9 is designed to elevate every moment with a sophisticated SUV experience. Stunningly crafted with three-row seating, including second-row captain's chairs. Book a test drive at Mazda.ca.